AM 1420, WASR Wolfboro, W246DI Wolfboro at 97.1 FM. Local, community, radio.
And now, live from WASR Socially Distanced Studios, the best sports show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hasek.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and alongside Charlie Hasek, we are Mike and the Haas. How you doing today, Charlie?
Doing all right. I mean, it's we had a little bit of...
season of yuck is upon us.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm not there yet because it's still, we're still, you know, we're currently in Advent, the Christmas season. So I feel really good about this time of year.
Okay.
It's just once we get past January 1st or...
So it's not about the weather. It has to do more with the calendar.
Really, for me, it's the calendar, because January, okay. If you look at January and February in the calendar, there's not a whole lot that I look forward to in January and February as far as just kind of overall calendar.
Super Bowl?
Super Bowl's fine.
Valentine's Day?
The problem,
Hello, Michelle.
Valentine's Day is fine, but okay. Those are also just kind of commercial holidays.
President's Day? You got to be a President's Day guy.
Super Bowl Sunday, I enjoy, but the problem is the Super Bowl is so late. You
what
know,
about President's
I get
Day?
I get cranky.
What about President's Day?
Because I have to work the next day. Oh, President's Day is fine.
I figured you being the history guy that you know about President's Day.
I like President's Day, but it's just something about just January and February. It's just okay. It doesn't sit right with me. And then I get excited in March because in March, like, I like flowers, so you start to see the crocus kind of peek their heads out, okay. And the snow starts to melt, and it's just you go from a season of yuck. To just
a season of hope.
A season of hope. I like that. The season of hope. That's really nice.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But today was, you know, it is what it is. It was.
Roads were slick this morning.
They were very slick. And
Eric, how was it for you driving in all the way in from where you do?
I had no problem, actually. The roads were just wet.
Okay.
It's kind of a big.
What time do you come in?
I was here about 9.
All right. Maybe by then. Well, I mean, it probably weren't bad for you either. What do you start at? 10?
You're very funny.
No,
I had a bit of a struggle.
Us 7 o'clockers, it was pretty slick out there. It was greasy.
It was greasy as I made my way out to Ossipee, and it's, you know, as you go, I was heading north, dude. You know, you're out here and like you got like nice southern climate here in Wolfboro, so I was going north.
You're not headed to Colebrook, you know?
Yeah. But there was a little bit more snow, but you're right. It was just, I guess for me. So on days that it snows, I always go the highways to Ossipee, and the days that it doesn't snow, I go the back roads. And I was really, when I say highway, like 28 and 16 is a highway to me, and the back roads
welcome
up by
to New Hampshire.
The back roads up by Tuftonboro Central School are the beautiful back roads.
Okay,
so it's just I was surprised that I didn't see more plow trucks out. I think they may have been caught by surprise.
Some of the secondary roads were not touched.
Yes.
Yep. And the main roads were touched by the time that we went through. But the secondary roads, we saw a few accidents on the way through.
Yeah.
And it was greasy. It was that greasy stuff, which, you know, it's not a lot. It's not ice. It's just slush.
Yeah.
And
this is one of these things. I don't know what your driveway's like, but it's when I go home later tonight and see my driveway, it's one of those that I'm going to need to have some melting happen. And I was looking, Eric, you can help me out. It looks like I'm going to have to wait probably till Monday, but I saw maybe on Monday it might be mid-50s.
Yes. Scheduled to rain, though.
That's okay, though. That'll melt things.
More snow for Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay, I mean...
A little more significant Wednesday or Thursday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, snow is okay. We want... I mean, I don't know. I like snow for Hanukkah and Christmas and all that good stuff. It's, you know, the season that is nice.
The winter season for me begins on the first snowblower first time I have to use a snowblower.
Yes.
And it ends the last time I use a snowblower.
That's your winter season. But you didn't use a snowblower today.
I did not.
No, so and you're not going to.
So this stuff doesn't bother me.
No.
Yeah. It's the one that when I have to get up and take the snowblower out, that's when the season starts. And then, you know, sometime in March, occasionally April, I mean, very occasionally, but usually when it gets to those days when we get snow, it's so warm during the day that it melts on its own, so I don't take it out.
Interesting thing about that with the snowblower. So I know a gentleman that lives in the Lakes region that has a heated driveway.
Really?
And absolutely, positively... amazing. I can't imagine how much money it costs, and I don't know how you fix it if it breaks, but you get to have all the beauty of...
There's only one other person I know that had a heated driveway.
Yeah.
Jason Veritek.
Right.
Down in Newton. Yeah. My buddy Buzz, we talked about before, when I don't know if Veritech still lives there, because he probably still does. He has a heated driveway in Newton.
And this driveway, you know, it's not a friend of mine. I wish it were a friend, but it's someone, an acquaintance, and it's a small area. It's not like it's a, you know, 90-foot driveway that's heated. It's just an area outside the garage, and that's just, you click, flip a switch or whatever you do, and it takes care of the snow.
That's when you know you made it.
Yeah, I think so.
The heated driveway.
Yeah, heated driveway.
So. Mike and the Haas is powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro. It can be found on WASR 97.1 FM at 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread, and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you're there, enter the disco code of Mike and the Haas or WASR to receive $5 off a gingy box. You can always join our conversation at 569 Lake, 569-5253. And you're going to need that today, because today is trivia sponsored by
the Full Belly Deli.
Yes. And you know what we're going to start talking about soon?
Hopefully Kingswood Sports.
The Boathouse.
Oh, that's, I'm sorry. That's, yes, right. The Boathouse. Which is going to be the new Full Belly Bar and Grill.
January 1st.
Yeah. And they're already selling tickets for their big New Year's Eve extravaganza.
So I guess December 31st, technically.
Yeah,
they're opening.
Yeah, they have two seatings. Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
That is exciting.
That's a beautiful spot.
All right.
You know how I woke up this morning? Like, I was awake, but the first time I looked at my phone, it was a text from you. And it was a text that
I'd been up for an hour by the time I texted you.
I understand, but I looked and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at that! A text from Mike, and all it said was JBJ is back.
Yep,
that's all it said, and that was enough to have that bile in my stomach come up my throat.
You're gonna feel differently when we talk about it.
I hope so.
I have not. My take isn't about that. We'll talk about the Red Sox a little bit later, but. I do have some stuff about Major League Baseball.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, there is no more Major League Baseball right now. They're locked out.
It is a lockout. Thankfully, it's a lockout in December.
Yep. The JBJ trade happened 20 minutes before the lockout.
Yes.
Which surprising. is interesting. Billionaires want more money, and they want to take the money from the other billionaires, basically, is what is happening.
Those poor millionaire baseball players.
Yep. Baseball's broken.
Yeah, we know that.
Well, you and I spent some time throughout the past couple of years trying to fix baseball, but we never really got into the financials of it.
No.
You know, we talked about the game itself to help the financials, you know, get more people attracted to the game. But and I'm not an economist, and neither are you. So
no.
I know there's some things here that aren't going to make, you know, a ton of sense, and probably somebody out there knows this is not going to work. But do you think it's time for a hard salary cap in baseball?
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if we've been talking about it, but we've probably been talking about this for
who knows
quite some time. But, yeah, there definitely needs to be a salary cap.
Revenue sharing?
I like it.
Like an NFL model?
Yeah, I was going to say, you have successful professional leagues that already exist.
Yeah.
So why not model off of them?
Because the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox and the Chicago Cubs, they're trying to think big market teams, New York Mets.
Yep.
You know, the New York Mets signed Max Scherzer for $42 million a year.
Right.
That's the equivalent of the whole payroll for, let's say, the Tampa Bay.
Absolutely.
You know, a few other teams. Arizona probably has a payroll like that.
Yeah.
San Diego. I mean, San Diego's been spending money lately. But some of the smaller market teams can't keep up with that.
Yeah.
And really any of your Florida teams.
You go back to look at Oakland. You know,
Oakland. Yeah, there's another one. Baseball is broken, and I think if this lockout is for real, then they need to fix baseball. Mm-hmm. They need to say, and this might mean, and I know this is going to be upsetting to you and upsetting to me too, not having baseball for a while.
I know.
If their ownership and the people that are involved with baseball really want to fix baseball, then everybody has to be operating on an equal playing field, like the NFL does.
Right.
Like the NHL does now.
Mm-hmm.
NBA, they have, I couldn't even begin to explain their salary cap.
Neither.
They have one.
I don't think they can explain it.
No, they have one.
Complicated and convoluted.
But the NHL and the NFL have hard salary caps where there's revenue sharing, and the compensation is very, very simple. The players get a percentage of the revenue for the league from the year before. Period.
That's what it is, yeah.
And so I think it's like 47% or 49% or 51%. It's in that, around that 50% mark.
Sure.
And that's what they negotiate. I should say that. They also negotiate things like player safety and those kinds of things. But when it comes to the financials, they negotiate a percentage of the revenue. And the revenue is from the year before. And so if the league makes $1 billion, then I'm using that as just easy numbers, and they're getting 51%, then the salaries are going to be $510 million divided by however many teams it is. It's a formula that is simple. It's understandable for me and you. Understandable
me
for the fans.
Me as a simple guy, I get it.
The Major League Baseball has a luxury tax. Mm-hmm. If you go over a certain amount of luxuries, and I think the luxury tax is going to be $210 million. And so if you go over, let's say you spend $220 million, then you spend that extra $10 million, then you got to take another $20 million, and you got to divide it up by a bunch of other teams.
Right.
Which teams get that money, I have no idea. I don't know who gets that money. But there's not an incentive to spend money. There's not an incentive to get up to the luxury tax. There's not an incentive for the Oaklands of the world to spend their money.
Right.
Because they're just going to have money coming in. They've got to figure this out, or baseball's going to die. Yeah. And I think a national TV contract, figuring out how to make that happen, mm-hmm. where there's every single night there are national games, that is not Major League Baseball TV. You know, that's something
the,
like
the guy that has an antenna can still see MLB.
Something that has to happen that way. Another thing that they have to do, they have to figure out a way to lower the cost it is to get into these games.
Right.
So Charlie Hossack could bring his family for under $600 to a baseball game, or he doesn't have to fly him to Baltimore instead of going Fenway Park.
That's right.
There's got to be a little bit more of a standardized price. And so one of my suggestions is figure out a way to raise the TV revenue, mm-hmm. spread that out, but lower the day-to-day. Because if you get more people into the ballpark, they're going to watch the games when they don't go to the ballpark.
Right.
But if kids never get to a ballpark, then they watch a baseball game on TV and they're like...
And they're bored.
It's like going to Mars.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm never going to go to Mars. Why am I going to watch this, this guy going to Mars? It's the same exact thing. You got to get them into the stadium so that they're willing to watch the game and grow the fan base.
I agree with that.
And it's got to be something that is enjoyable at the stadium, that's affordable for parents, so it's not just once every 3 or 4 years, that they can go get a hot dog and a beer for under 15, not the kid's going to get a beer, but you know what I mean, that for under $15, it's just so expensive. And I know that Fenway's more of the anomaly when it comes to the cost, but there's got to be a standard. There's got to be something that's standardized. Right. Got to figure this out. So,
And from the player perspective, if you're not going to make $42 million a year, which I don't think you should make $42 million a year if you pitch, then they can still earn their money through endorsements.
Yeah.
And so if you say, we're only going to pay you $10 million a year, let's just say, then, okay, so, yeah, if you're, Max Scherzer, and you went from $42 million to $10 million, but you can still get your Nike deal and all the other deals.
The one thing the NBA does do, I like the max contract idea.
Yeah.
That a certain player, now they've gotten out of hand, now they're like $50 million a year.
That's right.
But I like, Siri just said, when I said that Siri woke up.
I don't know.
Make a maximum amount that you can make per year is $20 million in the
MLB.
MLB. And so now Tampa can afford that.
Yeah.
They can, and you get 4 max contracts, per team, or 6 max contracts per team. You pick a number. But have the thing universal throughout. Mm-hmm. So a San Diego team can compete with the same exact structure as the Oakland team.
Right.
And your talent's going to be better spread out. It's not going to be centralized in Los Angeles, New York, and Boston.
Right.
Not Boston anymore because they don't spend any money, but it has to happen. And we ran out of time for your take. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Are we all set, Eric?
You good, Eric?
All right. Mike and the Haas. Mike and the Haas is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or duranindependentinsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you. When looking for a sub in town, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro. For some of the most tasty subs in town, you have to try the Full Belly Deli. Hey, Charlie, do you know about the Thanksgiving Fridays?
I sure do. Thanksgiving. Turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and mayo on a grilled homemade white bread. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955. And don't forget to tell them Mike and the Hoss sent you. Going on a trip? Start your travels with less stress.
JCN Shuttle offers transportation to and from all local and regional airports, concert venues, sporting events, and will even take you to the casino.
Need to get your car to Florida? JCN Shuttle features long-haul vehicle transport to anywhere in the continental United States.
JCN Shuttle is locally owned and operated and fully insured.
They are currently offering a 10% discount off the purchase of any gift certificate.
Give JCN Shuttle a call at 603-515-1894 or visit jcnshuttle.com.
JCN Shuttle will take you anywhere at any time.
Let them do the driving so you don't have to.
Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. All right, so it's time to kick off our winter previews. And on the Kingswood Hotline, brought to you by Duran Independent Insurance. Duran is independent and works for you. We have Coach Joe Farragher of the Kingswood Boys Basketball Team. Coach, can you hear us? Coach?
Hello?
Hey, Coach, you there?
Can you hear us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Loud and clear. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. So give us a little... Let us know what's going on. You just finished tryouts, so you're getting ready for... This is your second season, correct?
Yeah, second season. Yep. Last year was the first year back at Kingswood.
Yep.
And obviously we lost part of the beginning of the season, but we were able to have some of the season and turn into somewhat of a success.
That's awesome. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this season, your expectations. Maybe highlight a few of your players, and maybe talk a little bit. We don't want to dwell on it, but a little bit about COVID protocols and what we should expect this season.
Coach, you with us?
Coach Farragher, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hey, Coach, yeah, are you there?
You're bouncing in and out, Coach.
I'm here. I'm in the weight room, so let me move around at the high school.
All right. You're getting your gains. I like that. All right. Did you hear? Were you able to hear any of my? Were you able to hear my questions, Coach?
I heard your question about being the second year and how things are going.
Yep. So my question is, if you could still hear me, my questions. Just wanted to know if what the expectations are, obviously, for you this season, the team. Maybe highlight a few of your players that are coming back, and what we can expect from them, and maybe just kind of review a little bit of the COVID protocol so that we know what to expect this season. I think Coach is in the bowels of Kingswood.
We're having some technical issues with Coach.
Yeah. He might be heading out the door to
I think so.
Get outside.
Why don't we hang up on Coach and we'll call him right back.
Is that all right? Okay.
All right. So they did have a decent year last year, didn't they? It was shortened. Wasn't
Absolutely.
It?
An
8-game year.
Yep. But they had a successful season. It's great. I think the most important thing is that kids got to play basketball.
Right.
In a season that of unknowns, they had the opportunity to play the sport that they love.
Now, if I remember right, he has a lot of returning this year.
He does. He's got a lot of seniors. A lot of size.
He lost Brogan Shannon.
I was almost said to retirement to graduation.
No, I think he's trying to play at St. Anselm's.
Good for him.
I think.
Well, I didn't think he's retired, but he graduated.
Well, yeah. Most do retire
a
at
lot,
the end of high
lot.
School.
A lot. Yeah, you're very
retired
true.
Retired a men's league. I think Eric's trying to get.
All right,
him back
we're trying
on
to get Coach Farragher back on the line.
We were talking before that. There's probably only four winter sports teams for Kingswood right now.
Yes,
girls basketball, boys basketball, and then girls hockey and boys hockey.
Yeah.
There's no indoor track. We don't think they're swimming.
No, and we're not sure about wrestling.
We're not sure about wrestling.
So we'll have to find out if they have. I know wrestling was possibly going to happen. We got a phone call.
All right. Coach, is that you?
This is me.
Awesome. All right.
Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? I moved outside. You'd think you'd be able to get some calls in your own gym, but I guess hopefully that's not a preview for the year.
No. All right. So why don't you just kind of preview for us, Coach? Just let us know some of your returners, talk about some of your players and what we can expect to see as Kingswood basketball fans.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said earlier, it's second year at the program, and some of the guys got a glimpse into my expectations.
for players and kind of how we want to go in the direction for the program. So we got some returners coming back, like Ethan Arnold, Henry Saunders, Cam Wojcikowski, Tyler Sprintz, James Dowling, to name a few. And, you know, these guys are going to come in and just in the first, can't forget about Carter Morrissey too, and thinking about how these guys are coming in and set the tone for some of the other guys on the roster right now. So those guys, those seniors right there that I mentioned too are going to help set the tone, not just in the practice, but when we get in the games and using their experience and see where we can go and kind of guide some of these younger guys along the way.
Coach, we were talking about you lost Brogan Shannon, you know, as he graduated, and he was a big part of your offense last year. How is your game planning? How's your offense going to look different without having Brogan there?
Oh yeah, for sure. Brogan's a heck of a player. Tough to lose a guy of his caliber. It's going to be a team approach. You know, we don't have a guy who can dominate the ball like he could last year, and control the tempo to his own pace. So we're looking for guys to be able to step up. We'll get a couple sophomores and juniors that have great opportunities in front of them. But right now, it's going to be a team approach on how we share the ball, take care of the ball, and just value each possession.
Talk a little bit, Coach, about some of the COVID protocols. Is it true that you guys are wearing masks for games, and will the opponents be wearing masks as well?
As of right now, Kingswood Regional High School will be wearing masks for games. I can't speak on how things will adjust, or we'll go from there. And when I get direction from, we get direction from where we need to go. That's how we'll handle it. But we are wearing masks in practices, and then expected to in games right now.
All right, Coach. Let's preview the season a little bit. Who's the do you see besides Kingswood? Obviously, the teams to beat in Division II, and how do you see this playing out?
Yeah, well, last year was interesting with just the regional schedule and not getting a chance to see everyone live. But, looking ahead at the full schedule right now, and if that's the way it plays out, I think about a trip that we got to Lebanon later in the season. I think they're going to be, one of the top-tier teams. And, I think it's also wide open, too, because everyone's dealing with a lot of different things from, COVID-related incidents to – we play three games a week this year. You lose one guy, for a night, he could be out six games. He can miss a third of the season. So it'll be a lot of adjusting and getting other guys to step up, not just in our team, but I think a lot of the other schools in D2. So, but I think, Lebanon's always one of those teams up top, maybe Goffstown. We'll see how things play out.
Coach, how are your numbers this year in terms of the whole program, the varsity, junior varsity, freshman? Compared to, let's say, last year or years past?
Yeah, before I got to head back into the middle school practice, we had 50 kids try out this year at the middle school, which was up from last year. And at the high school, we had 38 kids register, and, we had over 30 kids show up for tryouts at the beginning of the week. So last year, we had 19 kids in the program at the high school.
Wow.
So it was good to see some of the numbers come back. We were fielding two teams at the high school, varsity and JV, so... we're not up to that third team we were a couple of years ago, but I'm pretty confident we can head in that direction, as we continue to grow.
Awesome. Hey, Coach, we're going to let you go. Best of luck. We know you want to get back into the middle school practice. Thank you, and we plan to talk to you throughout the season.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for taking the time. We'll see you soon.
All right, talk to you
later.
Care. So
that's good to hear that the numbers are up.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
It is.
And you always look to, you're the middle school guy. You always look to the middle school, and you like to see those robust numbers at middle school and then be able to keep them.
There's a lot of kids at the middle school that are interested in athletics right now. We knew the numbers were big in football at the middle school level. I knew that 50 went out. I think they're going to have three teams.
Good.
At the middle school. I believe they're going to have three teams. Yeah. So
they'll have three boys teams and three girls teams?
Yeah.
Or we're talking about boys.
50 boys. I don't know what the girls were.
Sure, we'll find out.
But
when
I know that some of the girls were nervous about if they're going to make it and which are on it. So there was a lot of girls that were coming out.
Yeah, so that's great. Having three teams is fantastic.
So it is exciting.
Just get as many kids as you can playing right. Basketball is awesome.
We're just going to run through some stuff here, Coach. Revolution. Did you catch?
Well, so just so you know, the boys varsity soccer team went to the game. Kingswood boys soccer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I did not go, but my son did go. So Coach Nelson had a little ceremony at the high school, and then they all kind of carpooled down. They got some group tickets, so they had the opportunity to go to a Revolutions playoff game. The game ended in penalty kicks, and it's so funny because we've said this before. We had a whole segment on it that playoff soccer games should not end in penalty kicks. And unfortunately, this time, the penalty kicks didn't help the Revolution. They ended up losing the game and are bounced out of the playoffs. So they had that great, great run in the regular season. But this is so frustrating, Mike, to have a game end. And, you know, obviously,
they had the greatest regular season record in the history of Major League Soccer.
Yeah, and they get bounced out.
They choked.
They choked, but then to get bounced out by penalty kicks. Let them play.
They still choked.
Let them play. But it was good. It was a good experience for the boys.
The Revolution were down.
Yeah,
they had to score in the 90th minute or something like that.
2-2 game.
But they got the tying goal.
Just a few minutes.
Yellow card. I think it was a red card. Somebody got a red card, so they were playing shorthanded. Yeah. It's too bad because this is the second time that we've talked about major soccer, whether it be USA soccer, professional soccer, in a disappointing fashion.
Or high school soccer, yeah.
Well, high school soccer, I would say that wasn't disappointing because
it worked out for Kingswood.
Yeah, and they went to the semifinals, and that was the greatest season that a Kingswood soccer team has had.
So we talk a lot about soccer, but let's talk a little bit.
No, we don't. We don't talk a lot
about soccer. We've been talking a lot about soccer. But the nice thing is I asked about the crowd, and the lower bowl of Gillette was filled.
Did they open the upper bowl?
No, I asked Jonathan that, and he said in the upper bowl, there were some people in the upper bowl, but they were from the opposing team from New York.
Okay.
So he wasn't sure how they were able to get up there.
Lower
bowl was full.
USA Soccer, we referenced them because they played a game in Kingston, Jamaica in a World Cup qualifying match.
Right.
That was at 5:30 and not on American TV. It was on ESPN Deportes, and it was impossible to find.
Yeah.
And that's a major soccer event.
Yep.
The Revolution had the greatest regular season of all time. There was a little bit of momentum building as far as energy in New England for soccer.
And they had one of their key players at the Patriots game. You know, one of the key players came to the Patriots game and did the coin flip and all that stuff.
And so, there was a real opportunity for soccer to grow
a little bit in the past two or three weeks
in New England. And
yeah, I know.
It just let it down. So
it fizzled out.
I think it's a choke job. And I agree with you. Penalty kicks should never end a playoff game.
That's what I was frustrated about.
The better team often doesn't win.
No.
And I think that's tough. We're gonna go to break. We still got a lot to talk about, but we're going to have Reed Swinnerton on after trivia.
Yeah.
Or before trivia.
Talk to Reed before trivia.
Because Reed went out to Cleveland because we had Reed on a couple weeks ago
to talk about the Browns game. So we want to hear about his experience in Cleveland.
In Cleveland. We'll talk to him real quick about some NFL stuff. And then we've got a whole bunch of Hall of Fame to talk about.
Sure.
Maybe we're going to take a break on Bruins and Celtics this week.
That's fine. We can.
All right. Yeah. Mike and Haas.
Hey, this is Charlie Hossack from Mike and the Haas. Whether you're an Olympic athlete, weekend warrior, or just plain old like me, you should visit Seacoast Spine and Sports Injury Clinic. They have locations in Portsmouth, Hampton, and Alton, New Hampshire. The clinic has received numerous awards such as Best of Seacoast and Best of New Hampshire, and they accept most major health insurances. The clinic provides chiropractic sports medicine, routine chiropractic care, physical therapy, and naturopathic medicine. My family and I have been regular patients at the Seacoast Spine and Sports Clinic for the past 6 years and highly recommend them for all of your health care needs. Check them out on the web at seacoastsportsinjuries.com.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Haas. If you're in the real estate market, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Fay brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Fay, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Fay. No one knows the local market better than Fay, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or verani.com.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss at yumyumshot.com.
Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. All right, we're going to – Reed, I think Reed Swinerton's on the phone. Reed, you there?
Yep, I am.
All
hey,
right.
Hey, Reed, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, last time we talked, it was prior to the Browns-Patriots game. We don't have to beat that up a little. We know that the Patriots are a much better –
we could talk about it a little
well,
bit.
Well, we know that the Patriots are a much better team than
I don't
the Browns.
Think that's necessary.
But you, what we really wanted to talk about is you had an opportunity – to travel out to Cleveland and see the Browns, and some cool things happened to you while you were there. So we want to hear what happened to you. We want to hear a little bit about the game. Tell us about the stadium. We just kind of really want to hear about your trip.
Yeah, so we flew down Saturday morning and got there Saturday afternoon. And we was just pretty chill Saturday. We walked downtown Cleveland and went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was pretty cool. And we ate at some, like, fancy Mexican restaurant. So,
Chipotle?
Was,
Chipotle?
No. It was way better than Chipotle. So Saturday was pretty chill and calm. And game day was very big. We woke up and there was just fans everywhere, walking the streets and driving by, like, holding up, like, flags and stuff, and it was pretty big. So, yeah, and the stadium, I think the stadium is a lot better than Patriots Stadium,
yep.
In my opinion.
Why do you say that?
It's just, like, the orange seats, it's on the water, it has, the Patriots Stadium has that big pro shop in it.
That's
Browns,
true. You can get,
Browns,
some, get some swag.
Browns pro shop isn't as big as that.
Because they haven't won anything.
Hey, just Breed, I wanted to back up a little bit because your dad kind of made a mistake. He told me this the other day. You almost had the opportunity to stay in the hotel where the Detroit Lions were staying. Didn't you have an opportunity to see the Lions coming out of their hotel?
We didn't see them coming out of their hotel, but we wanted to get down there early so I could, like, get to the stadium early. So
yep.
We were walking, and we up ahead of us, we see cop cars and with their sirens on and stuff, like a bunch of them. And then, like, behind them, we see, like, four big, huge, tinted buses and stuff with, like, they were just, like, decked out buses. And that was the Detroit Lions bus, because we walked up right where there were more buses parked. And we could see, like, the athletic trainers and stuff come out of the hotel with, like, all the gear and everything. And we just missed them.
Like, Reed, how is the environment for the game compared to a Patriots game? Is it about the same as, like, an NFL game, Or, you know, was the dog pound really happening over there?
I definitely think that there's a lot more, like, roar in the crowd and stuff at the Brown Stadium than Pat Stadium. I think, like, there's just, at any time of the game, just, like, Browns fans are just cheering and, like, just going crazy at any point in the game, even if they're losing. They're always just, like, hyped and stuff. I don't think that's at the Patriots Stadium.
Reed, are you more of a Browns fan now or less of a Browns fan now that you've gone to the game?
I'm probably more of a Browns fan now.
That's awesome. Now, you had an opportunity to meet someone really important, a quarterback that's a little bit better than Cam Newton. tell us how that thing transpired. What was that all about?
So 2 years ago when I went to go see the the Browns play the Pats in New England. I got a bunch of high fives from almost all of the players except Baker Mayfield. So that was, like, one of my big goals when I went to Cleveland, was to try and get a high five from Mayfield, because I didn't get a high five from him in New England. So, like, I really didn't think that he was going to give me a high five with all the other Browns kids fans just, like, sitting there and trying to get a high five from him. I really didn't expect it, but I just stuck my hand out in the tunnel, and he came by and high-fived me, which was really surprising, because I never would have thought that he would have done that.
And it was that was on the Browns website and the NFL website, right?
Yeah. That's... Yeah, I was on both of those social medias.
Now, I know that you were wearing your Browns gear and swag. Was your dad and brother wearing their Patriots stuff?
No, my dad was wearing a UNH hat with a black jacket, and Shaw wasn't wearing any hat with just a green jacket. So
you didn't they didn't want to rock the Patriots gear?
No.
All right, that's probably not a bad idea.
Well, it sounds like this was an amazing trip, Reed. I'm glad you had an opportunity to get to see the Browns and get to go out to Cleveland. And
yeah.
It sounds like it's kind of a great memory to have. And I love the fact that you're a Browns fan. I hope you always remain a Browns fan. And just so you know, Mike and I always invite you. There's plenty of room on the Patriots bandwagon. So if you wanna ride with us for a little while,
if you wanna be with a winner,
If you wanna root for a team during the playoffs, you let us know, okay?
I'm good.
All right. See you later, Reed.
Take care, Reed. Thanks for calling. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
I love it. That's great. Sounds like a great experience.
All right, it's
trivia time, Mike. What do you win?
You're going to win a lunch from the Full Belly Deli, and we can officially say this now that we mentioned this at the beginning of the show. We're going to start plugging the Boathouse is coming back.
Yes,
where Bayside was.
Mm-hmm.
So the Full Belly Bar and Grill is going to be shutting down December 18th. That's at the golf course, and they're going to be moving their operation over to where the Bayside used to be, and it's going to
which is a Back Bay in Wolfboro.
Back Bay in Wolfboro, yep. And they're going to, or Front Bay if you're old school.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's going to become the Back Bay Boathouse,
right,
which it used to be back in the 80s and 90s.
Back in the day.
So pretty excited about that. December 31st, I believe they're going to be opening, grand opening. They're selling tickets. And they have a lot of plans. I was talking to Meryl Arsenault. I know you know Meryl.
Yeah, love Meryl.
And she couldn't stop talking about all the plans that they have over there.
That's awesome.
I did get a chance to text a little bit with Dougie Lamparter, who's the proprietor over there.
Right.
And he's really excited about it. And he's going to give us information that we can share on the air.
You know, one of the things I hope they want to include is a little Mike and the Hoss.
I hope so.
We would love to be part of.
Yeah, we want to do a live broadcast on Thursdays.
We would love it. That would be fun. All right. So this is trivia brought to you by the Full Belly Deli. All you have to do is, if you know the answer to this question, call in at 569-5253. That's area code 603. Once again, 603-569-5253. And you'll give the answer to us on the radio. If you're correct, we'll put you off air with Eric, our station manager, and he'll get your name, and you will have a $20, or no, excuse me, you won't have that. You'll have a free lunch. Your name will be at the Full Belly Deli, and you'll be able to get a free lunch from the Full Belly Deli just by telling them your name.
I had lunch there yesterday.
Yeah.
No, 2 days ago.
Did you get the Full Belly?
I got the special. It was a barbecued roast beef.
Ooh, sounds delicious.
Oh my God. It was seared roast beef and then smothered in barbecue sauce with cheddar cheese on a sub roll.
Yum, yum. All right, so if you know the answer to the question, 603-569-5253. Who was the first player in Major League Baseball history to win the MVP, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, batting title, and World Series in the same season? Once again, who was the first player in Major League Baseball history to win the MVP, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, batting title, and World Series in the same season? So if you know this, a baseball question, 603-569-5253.
I know you want to talk about Man in the Arena. You got a quick update about the California School for the Deaf?
Yeah, so the update, the California School for the Deaf, who we talked about a couple of weeks ago, did make it to their championship game. Unfortunately, they lost in the championship game, but we just wanted to say congratulations to them. They ended the season 12-1, an amazing season, and it's their first winning season ever. So well done for the boys out there.
And we're going to table the Celtics and Bruins talk. Nothing really happened this week. Brad Marchand suspended. They're win one, lose one.
We go back to the same. Who do we want to get rid of? Tatum, Brown, or Smart?
Yeah, so we'll hold off
on
that.
Same old.
And I think we're going to probably have to hold off on the Hall of Fame ballot. And then next week, just a little preview, we're going to try and get Maria Hendrickson back on the and talk Heisman Trophy.
It's Heisman Trophy time, and Maria is amazing.
So I did reach out to her, and she's getting her stuff ready, so hopefully we can find some time next week to do that. But our thing about the Hall of Fame, and I don't think that those are going to be announced at least for another week, so
no,
we should be able to get that in.
We have some time. So you, speaking of the Hall of Fame, we could talk about it last time. I finally remembered who I saw. It was like Bud Selig was put into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Pudge Rodriguez. Those. That's the one that I went to.
Okay.
So back in 2017.
I've got a lot to say about the Hall of Fame, so
we'll save that.
Big news overnight for the Red Sox is that they traded Hunter Renfro for old friend Jackie Bradley Jr.
That's right.
And you have expressed a lot of disappointment.
Yeah,
in that,
so I mean,
a lot
we didn't. I know I didn't have time for an opening take, but I guess the gist is, and it can be a conversation, is do we have to trust Heim Bloom because of what he did last season and got the Red Sox to the ALCS, or should we be in panic mode? And just my concern is that Hunter Renfro
had a career year.
He had a career year, but he can hit the baseball. JBJ can't hit the baseball. I don't even know if JBJ is even a good hitter.
What if I told you that they traded Hunter Renfro for a third-round draft pick who was first-round talent and has been absolutely tearing it up in the rookie leagues?
Okay. I mean, that makes me feel a little bit better.
There was two prospects that were thrown in it.
Okay.
One of them was this guy named Bill S., and he is a stud.
All right.
He's an absolute stud. Was supposed to go in the first round, got hurt, and so
he lost most of his last
college season. Still went into the draft.
Do you know what position he plays?
Well, he's kind of positionless. He's listed as an infielder, so first base, third base, or
second base.
Well, no. He's not a third baseman. Okay. I mean, a second baseman. He's more of a corner guy. Incredible power. Hits with consistency. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the prospects that they threw in. There was another infielder that they threw in also. But this is who they really traded Hunter Renfro for.
Yep.
They took on JBJ's bad contract.
Okay.
So they didn't trade Hunter Renfro for JBJ. And I know that's the narrative.
Sure.
They took on his bad contract. And the Red Sox have money. They should be doing things like that.
Because they wanted the other guy.
They wanted the prospect. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too.
Now, I'm also okay with getting rid of Hunter Renfro because... And you've heard me say this a lot of times. Water always seeks its level.
Right.
And they got more out of Hunter Renfro than any team has ever got out of Hunter Renfro. So he's not going to – I think what we saw, the Hunter Renfro we saw in the playoffs, which was abysmal.
That's who he is consistently.
He's a lot more of that than he was in the guy that they had during the regular season.
Right.
And so isn't a job of a general manager to try to sell high when you, especially on these 1 year guys?
Yeah,
you know, this is not somebody that's been in your system for 6 or 7 years.
Because if he kept Renfro for another season and he seeks his level, as you say, it's not going to be worth anything
at $10 million, which is right. What they're going to have to pay him.
Right.
And so they got that Hunter Renfro for $3 million, and you sold them high on him.
Yeah.
You get JBJ back now. Let's say JBJ plays. Let's say he sticks and he's on the roster at the beginning of the year, which I don't think he will be, but let's say he does. So now you have your defensive center fielder back, and Kiki Hernandez could go to second base. Mm-hmm. And so now you have your second baseman.
That's true.
And so you still have him in the lineup.
But I still get frustrated because JBJ is an automatic out. You know, so yeah. you basically have eight players.
JBJ has had good seasons.
I know, but that's a long, long time ago.
Well, I'm okay with the prospect. I'm okay with the trade.
I agree with you sharing that prospect. Yeah, I feel
a little bit better.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit.
Are you getting married, celebrating anniversary, or just want to bring something beautiful to that holiday celebration? Linda's Flowers has been serving the Lakes region since 2003. They specialize in fresh-cut flowers, bouquets, plants, and gifts. Linda's Flowers is owned by Gwen, who is a Wolfboro native and focused on serving the local community. 569-4513, or stop by their shop, 91 Center Street in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. The shop is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 1. You can also visit their website at flowersinwolfboronh.com, and Linda's Flowers will deliver right to your door. After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with two large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
Welcome back, 569-5253, especially for the trivia. And Charlie, what's the trivia question?
The trivia question is, who was the first player in Major League Baseball history to win the MVP, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, batting title, and World Series in the same season? First player in MLB history to win the MVP, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, batting title, and World Series in the same season.
Let's give the answer for this around 4:55 because I want to talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
Kind of expand on a previous conversation. So we got about 8 minutes to do football. We don't really have to cover the Patriots game. We could do a little bit just because.
Because we're going to have an opportunity to
cover
the Patriots game on Monday.
Because they're playing on Monday night. But you see Kyle Duggar is in COVID protocol?
I did see that.
So is J.J. Taylor.
Yeah.
Now, if he's vaccinated, then all he has to do is test negative. If he's not vaccinated.
That's the if he's vaccinated.
If he's vaccinated. If he's not vaccinated, then he's out for 2 weeks.
Ooh.
But they have a bye next week.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's out for this game.
Yeah.
Now, I think it matters. I think
a good
safety, especially a safety that plays in the box against Buffalo, is important because they like to throw those crossing routes. They like to do those kinds of things, and you need the guy in the middle that'll break that stuff up.
That's right.
So I think Kyle Duggar matters, and I think he's been playing really well. So that's something to keep an eye on as we move forward. I said before, there are not a lot of good games this weekend.
No.
And so if this was a weekend that you wanted to paint a room or something, this is the weekend to
go for it.
Because the best game, I think, is actually tonight. It's tonight and then Monday night.
Because it's Thursday Night Football.
Right.
That's right. Well, who's playing tonight?
So tonight is Dallas and New Orleans. Yeah. And
Dallas is coming off a loss.
Dallas is really inconsistent. They also don't have their coach.
Yeah.
He's in COVID protocol, too.
McCarthy.
You can't trust Dallas.
No.
You can't trust
Dallas, but New Orleans looked terrible last week.
Taysom Hill is playing quarterback tonight.
Oh, wow.
That's that big tight end Do you see the contract they gave him?
No.
Did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
It goes between $40 and $80 million depending on if he plays quarterback or not.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like $10 million a year minimum.
Yeah.
For just being that the flex guy.
Yeah.
But if they move him to quarterback.
But if he gets under center. Yeah.
But he touches the ball like 6 to 8 times a game, and they're giving him $10 million. It's a really great contract for him.
If
it's really stupid
player, on
New Orleans. they also don't have Alvin Kamara tonight, so New Orleans is really light. So you look back to Buffalo, who beat New Orleans last weekend, or at Thanksgiving rather. New Orleans has nobody.
No.
I mean, they have nobody, even though they beat the Patriots. But they did have Kamara when they beat the Patriots, and they were a little bit healthier when they beat the Patriots.
Yeah, and I go back to Miami beat the Patriots, too.
Had Jameis Winston, and that was a different
team.
But
that was an old – that's a Patriots team that's back in the rearview mirror.
It is true. So. It's amazing the evolution of NFL teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Dallas was a Super Bowl team back then.
Right. And now it's like they're just clinging to life.
They are.
I mean, I think they get the win tonight.
I think they beat New Orleans. Yeah, they should beat New Orleans. Amari Cooper's coming back. I don't know. Dallas is just Dallas. It's just I'm sorry, Coach McCullough, that they just can't seem to put it together on a consistent basis. And this has been for about 22 years.
Right.
You know, ever since Troy Aikman was quarterback over there, they have not been consistent.
That's a blast from the past, Troy Aikman. Wow.
Tampa.
Yes. The
is
Bucs,
going
baby.
To Atlanta. Atlanta, that's another inconsistent team.
You know what? Yeah. You know, you're not
You don't know what you're going to get.
I mean, I certainly would like Tampa in that game, but it wouldn't surprise me if in the fourth quarter that game is pretty close.
Yeah. I think Tampa's kind of turning it a little bit like New England, where the games are pretty close, or they haven't been.
New England games haven't been very close.
No, the last couple of weeks they haven't been close.
Last 6 weeks, really.
But we were worried there earlier in the season when we're like, oh, boy, are we going to get the real Patriots back?
The Tampa is a team that I don't trust. I don't trust their coach. I don't trust – I mean, I say that again. They won last year. They came through last year. But this is a team that just reads their headlines. They do, and I think the same story with Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I think Buffalo reads their headlines and says, "Oh, we're all that, and nobody's going to beat us."
Did you see that Tampa story of the high school freshman?
No.
The high school freshman was he was trying to do a Zoom call with his buddies. He punched the wrong number in for his buddy and ended up getting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of the players there in the locker room, and the guy came on, and Tom Brady joined, and Gronk joined.
Up.
Yeah. You have
on
to
a
check
wrong
it out.
Number.
On a wrong number. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that is pretty cool. That's a really great wrong number to get. Yeah.
And they all gave the team advice. I guess freshman basketball team saying, you know, hope you guys ball it out this year. Good luck. But everybody took an opportunity to at least say hi.
That's pretty cool. Arizona, Chicago. Again, I think Kyler Murray's playing this week.
He is. Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, Arizona's—they're still in power rankings. Pro Football Talk has them as the number one team. I don't know how.
That's crazy.
Our first game that we're going to be picking is the Chargers at Cincinnati. Cincinnati coming off big win against Pittsburgh. Chargers coming off a loss to Denver.
Yeah, and they're at Cincinnati.
Would
you like to go first? Or would you like me to start?
You can have this one.
Okay. I'm feeling like even earlier in the season, Cincinnati seemed like a pretty good team, and they had a couple of tough weeks. It looks like they're back. So I'm gonna take Cincinnati over the Chargers.
And this is a bit of crazy NFL season. You've been all over the place. Teams lose and they win. And I think Cincinnati's another team that is reading their headlines, is looking past the Chargers, is looking towards the Baltimore game. And so you've got Cincinnati.
You're taking the Chargers.
I'm taking the Chargers.
Nice.
I am.
And you are, just so people know, you're up by one game.
I'm up one. I can afford to take a few risks here.
There you go. Do more risks. Take more risks. Go ahead.
Minnesota at Detroit.
We don't have to pick that, do we?
No, we're not picking that one.
Thank goodness.
That's going to be Cleveland just barely beat Detroit. I don't know if Reed's still listening. I just thought I'd throw that out there. I mean, Minnesota, I think, is starting to play pretty well, starting to play better anyway. So, New York at Miami. Miami had a big win against Carolina last week.
New York as in the Jets or the Giants?
That's the Giants.
The Giants are at Miami.
And the Giants beat Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see which team is actually playing well and which team is just, was it Cam Newton the reason why Miami won? Is that the reason why, which is, 22 passer rating, whatever that was last week? Philadelphia at the Jets. The Jets ended up beating Houston last week. But
yeah, I think Philly's going to get that.
I think Philly probably rights himself. Indianapolis at Houston. That's Indianapolis. They're coming off. They went toe-to-toe with Tampa last week, but they see Indianapolis winning that game. The Washington football team at the Las Vegas Raiders.
The Raiders, yeah.
Again, that's not a game for us.
No. I think the Raiders get that win.
Probably. I don't know. Washington, they beat Seattle the other night.
Yeah, they did.
So
Seattle's, though, on a downward spiral.
Yeah, we're going to be picking that game.
Pete Carroll's gone.
You think so?
I think this is it.
Well,
they're going to move on from him.
Just it goes to show you that their dynasty lasted 3 or 4 years.
Right.
You know, and they won once.
Yeah. How long did New England
last?
They
won once. New England's still going.
I know, which is great.
You can't even really include last year as a COVID year. You don't even include that as a year off.
It's
that year
blip.
Didn't count.
Yeah.
Put an asterisk on that one. Where am I? Jacksonville at Los Angeles. That's the Rams,
the Rams. Yeah.
Okay, this game, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Baltimore beat Cleveland, Reed.
And Pittsburgh got crushed by Cincinnati.
Yep.
And the game's at Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Leaning a little towards Baltimore.
Okay, I'm going to go Pittsburgh.
Okay, I like it. You are really a risk taker this week.
I am.
You're trying to really distance yourself from me.
I could wrap this thing up this week.
Yeah. Hey, do you want me to give the trivia question, Mike?
Can we just finish these last two questions?
Yeah. Or the answer?
Go.
I'm sorry.
You want to give the answer?
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Go.
So who was the first player in Major League Baseball history to win the MVP, Silver Slugger, Golden Glove, batting title, and World Series in the same season? It happened in 2018, and it was the Boston Red Sox right fielder, Mookie Betts.
And as soon as we finish, I have a question for you on that one. San Francisco at Seattle.
Is this one of our picks?
This is one of our picks.
San Francisco, baby. And you're going to go Seattle. I know it.
No, I'm going San Francisco on that one.
All right, good.
Seattle looked terrible the other night. They have no offense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Denver at Kansas City. Denver's a team that every time
Denver,
we pick against
know.
Them, they win.
Because, yeah. I mean, Denver sometimes is my defense on fantasy.
Uh-oh.
So Denver where?
At Kansas City.
I'm going to take the Broncos.
All right.
What are you doing?
I'm doing KC.
Okay.
That's not much of a risk. You took the risk on that one. And then New England at Buffalo.
Well, I'm going to be going.
We're
going
to go both.
I'm going to go with New
now.
England, Michael.
So we could, the tide could change dramatically this week on these picks. Quickly, Mookie Betts. I had thought it was Ryan Sandberg, but it was Mookie Betts. We talked about JBJ coming back. Would you take Mookie Betts back?
Yeah, I like
at
Mookie Betts.
$33 million a year. Did you see his stats?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I don't. I mean, I was just looking at it, actually, his lifetime stats. He's just under.
No. So not lifetime. I was, his stats that since he's
last
been.
Last year. Since he's been a
because
Dodger.
You're dumping on JBJ for his stats. So would you take Mookie back? $33
million? Probably not for $33 million, no.
But that's you're taking JBJ back at his deal. So who would you rather have back? JBJ at his money. And that prospect.
Neither. About no.
Or
I don't want
Mookie.
I don't want either one back.
It's off. That's a wimpy.
Well, who are you going to take? You're going to take JBJ.
I am going to take JBJ.
I think from a financial point of view, JBJ is the best deal because it came with that, as you said, that prospect.
And
where Mookie Betts is going to come off. He's coming off a terrible season offensively and defensively.
And he's got 8 years left in his
contract.
Absolutely.
So you don't want to chew that up.
That's $250 million of contract that he has left, at least.
Right.
JBJ has like $40 million of contract left. Right. That's a big difference. It's going to handcuff your whole organization, and there's no way. So this is what we have going on next week. We still have to try to get some hockey previews with Coach Potenza and Coach Kelly.
Okay.
We're going to try and shoot for Potenza on Monday. We'll see what his schedule is. I know we have practice, but maybe he can find a couple minutes.
And then we need
to
do girls basketball coach Marty Garabedian.
That's right.
So we want to get him to get a preview of what the girls' team's looking like.
We want to talk about the Hall of Fame because that's certainly in the news right now.
So Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. And we have I grabbed the last 20 years of Hall of Fame inductees plus this year's ballot so we can compare. We're obviously going
to
talk Patriots next week and football. And then Trophy, we want to get Maria in here to talk Heisman Trophy next week.
Yep, so we'll hopefully have her in.
So we might have to change our format a little bit.
You know, one thing you didn't mention, when am I going to have an opportunity to talk?
To go on my boat?
No, I already had that opportunity. I don't want to go in the boat now, not in the season of hope or whatever you're calling it, the season of yuck. But I want to know when I get to talk about Man in the Arena. And when are you going to start watching it? Because by the time we meet again, I will have watched episode 3.
You are
going to be so excited because
no, I will not be excited.
You will because it talks. It's
compare it to the other thing that he did, the TB12. You know the thing last year or 2 years ago, whatever it was.
No, this is so much better because he is building up everyone except for Tom Brady. It's all about everyone else. Tom Brady was made, and he talks about himself.
Do you think?
And the only reason why
that's
Tom Brady
in response to the other documentary he did that
I don't
was
know.
Talked about all about
the
himself?
Only reason why Tom Brady is Tom Brady is because of the other people that have helped him to become Tom Brady.
Is Alex Guerrero in this one?
He isn't. Yeah, hasn't been yet.
He hasn't. Been.
I'm only on.
Well,
I finished episode 2.
Can I have my paperback?
Sorry about that.
So he's not in the picture yet. Then.
No, not yet.
Okay.
So we're only episode 3 is out. I haven't seen it, though.
So Alex Guerrero started showing up around 07, 08, 09.
Yeah, no, we just won. The Patriots just won.
Are we going to see a massage? Are we going to see a massage Tom Brady?
Patriots,
is it one of those kinds of things?
The Patriots just won Super Bowl 38. So
we want to, once again, thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Haas and WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. Thanks to Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway.
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic.
Skelly's Market.
Lucas Roasting Company.
Duran Independent Insurance.
Carroll County Oil.
Downtown Grill and Cafe.
Weston Auto Body.
Linda's Flowers.
Bradley's Hardware.
JCN Shuttle.
And the Full Belly Deli.
We'll be back on Monday for more Mike and the Haas.